Poet, writer, performer, teacher, and director, Maya Angelou was raised in Stamps, Arkansas, and then moved to San Francisco. In addition to her groundbreaking autobiographies, beginning with I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she has also written 2 cookbooks, 5 poetry collections, including I Shall Not Be Moved, 3 books of essays, including Letter to My Daughter, and 6 long-form poems, including Mother and On the Pulse of Morning, read at the inauguration of President William Jefferson Clinton. Dr. Angelou, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the airwaves of WPFW this morning.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mimat.
Well, tell me, please call me Gloria.
Thank you.
How did the title Mom and Me and Mom come about, and how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it took me about 30 years to write that, to come up with that title. I didn't know how I would write, how I was going to entitle a book that dealt with the impact my mother had on me without, and she was an amazing woman. And I started trying to write the book about 15 years ago, but the book wasn't ready. Or maybe I wasn't ready. And then I tried again about 10 years ago. Still, the book didn't come. So I wrote another book. But finally, about a year and a half ago, I sat down with my yellow pads to write Mom, Me, and Mom, and it came. So it meant that the book and I were ready. And what I think now, over while I'm doing promotion and talking about the book, I think what hampered me and stalled me was I didn't know enough. I didn't know that love was healing. I didn't know that. And that accounted for my reconciliation with my mother. And it accounted for the fact that I got over the feeling that she had abandoned me. She left or allowed me and my brother when I was 3 and my brother 5. She allowed us to be sent away from her to my father's mother down in a little village in Arkansas. And save for one period, when I was 7, I didn't see her again until I was 13. And I had that feeling of abandonment. And you know, what happens as a result of that is children who feel abandoned feel unwanted,
yes,
unloved, and subsequently have very little self-esteem and become vulnerable to every ill wind that blows their way. My self-esteem, except for my grandmother, who was raising me, my father's mother. Had it not been for her, I'd have been really without support. But my grandmother told me, "Sister, when you get to give and when you learn, teach, and that will take you all over this world." She told me, I stopped talking for a while, and she said, "Sister, Mama don't care. These people say you must be an idiot or a moron because you don't talk. Mama know when you and the good Lord get ready, you're going to teach. You're going to become a teacher. You're going to teach all over this world." But, of course, I found out she was right. At first, I used to think, this poor ignorant woman, doesn't she know I will never speak? But, of course, I have taught, and I do teach all over the world. But when I went to my mother, I began to see she loved me. And so that liberated me from my anger with her, my disappointment with her. And I began to see myself as not only worthy, but as very bright.
Dr. Angelou, could you tell us about Grandmother Henderson? She loved you. Did you ever get a kiss from her? How did she show her love?
I lived with her 10 years. She never once kissed me, to my knowledge. However, she was so proud of me. She would invite visitors over tell me, sister, take off your shirt. And then she'd show my arms. She'd ask her visitors, have you ever seen an arm prettier than this? Straight as a plank, smooth and brown as peanut butter. Now look at that. And she was proud that I could add very well. So she'd get a tablet and tell me, now, sister, put this is in front of her visitors. She said, now put down these numbers, 242, 315, 609. Now add those up. I would add them, and my grandmother would tell her visitors, just watch. She can finish that in 2 minutes. Her uncle already timed her on it. I would finish the numbers, and I'd give the answer to my grandmother. And she'd just beam. She said, you see, here's my little professor.
Please recount for us your journey, along with Bailey, from California to Arkansas. How did you travel?
We traveled when my mother and father sent us away. We were three. I was three and my brother five. They put us on a train in Los Angeles with no adult supervision. We had tags on our arms which read, these children are to be delivered to Mrs. Annie Henderson in Stamps, Arkansas. The Pullman car porters and dining car waiters actually took us off trains, put us on other trains, took us off those trains, and we actually arrived. Amazing. Sometimes, although 80 years later, I think, did we get there? How did we get there? But we did.
And she was there to meet you.
Yeah, my grandmother was there to meet us.
Yes. Tell us about your mother, Vivian Baxter. What was her profession? And did she carry a gun?
She had many professions.
Yes.
She told me once, I asked her to meet me. I said, I want to see you. I'm going to go to New York. I was in Los Angeles. She said, oh, I'm so glad. I'll come from San Francisco. Let's meet in Bakersfield because I'm going to see. I asked her, you're going to see what? She said, I'm going to go to become a seaman. And I asked why. She said, because they told me they wouldn't let women in their union. She said, you know what I said? I said, you want to bet? I put my foot in that door up to my hip. The women of every color will get aboard into that union, get aboard a ship, and go to sea. And when she retired from the union, a group of women, black, white, Asian, and Spanish-speaking, gave a party for her, calling her Lady of the Sea, Mother of the Sea. And they ship out of San Francisco. But she owned pool halls, and she was a registered nurse. She was avid to learn anything.
We have this debate nowadays about gun ownership and the problems surrounding owning a gun. Your mother did carry a gun, and it was necessary for her to do so. Talk about that.
Well, I think that women need to have some kind of protection. Nowadays, with all sorts of home invasions and all that sort of thing, I don't agree with these ultra guns, you know, which like almost like machine guns.
Yes.
I think that those, people say they're for hunting. But deer and moose and other sort, even turkeys, haven't developed many more developed ideas of protection than the arrow. So I would imagine that a regular rifle would be sufficient. On the other hand, while I say that, I also say that a person should be able to protect herself and himself in his home. So I believe that. I got that from Vivian Baxter.
And Vivian Baxter was a wonderful woman, as you tell her story. What did she do to make you smile?
Well, at first, I didn't understand her. She frightened me. She wore lipstick and danced and had record players. And I had been with my grandmother, my father's mother, who was a devout Christian. Mama wouldn't allow us to say hot dog in the house because she said that was our way of cursing. We couldn't say, by the way, because she said Jesus was the way, the truth and the light. And if we said, by the way, we were trying to say, by Jesus, and she would not have that kind of silliness in her house. I went to my mother, and she was dancing and singing all these rough songs, songs that actually made me blush, songs of the blues that talked about them. Well, sex, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted me to call her mother. I said, no, I couldn't. She asked me, why not? I said, you don't look like a mother. You don't act like a mother. She said, well, you're going to have to address me somehow. What would you like to call me? So I said, I'd like to call you lady. Because you're pretty, you're nice, and you remind me of a lady I read about.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, all right. And she went to her friends. She said, I want to be called lady. My daughter doesn't want to call me mother, but I'll be called Lady Baxter. And I don't know but at the end of the book, Mom, Me, and Mom, there's a replication of the park given in the town of Stockton where my mother lived. Named for her, Lady Baxter Public Park.
Yes.
She was a wonderful woman, kind to whites and blacks and Asians and Spanish people. She was just a kind woman. But she didn't take tea for the fever. She wouldn't allow anybody to get away with treating her badly at all. But on the other hand, if anybody needed anything, they knew, go to Vivian, to Lady Baxter. She would help you.
Would you please tell us why you stopped speaking for a while?
When I was 7, my father came to Stamps, Arkansas, got me and my brother, and took us to my mother's. She had moved back to St. Louis, where her people were. He took us there without informing her that he was bringing us. He just took us and deposited us on her doorstep. I'm sure he was just jealous of this divorced pretty woman who now was free to go and do whatever she wanted to do. Well, at first, Bailey and I were delighted to be in Stamps. I mean, it was a foreign country. Everybody spoke fast and they ate strange food like sliced bologna and liverwurst and sliced bread. And it was like being in Italy all of a sudden or in France. But after a few months, my mother's boyfriend raped me. And the man was put in jail for one day, released. And after a few, well, he was put in jail because my brother told me I had to tell the name of the man. I said, I can't. He told me if I tell his name, he will kill you. My brother was 9. He said, I won't let him. So I told him. The man was put in jail, released after one day and night. And a few days after that, the 2 huge white policemen came over to my mother's house and said the man had been found dead. And it seemed he had been kicked to death. That was in my hearing. And so I thought my voice had killed him. So I stopped speaking to everyone but my brother. I could speak to Bailey because I knew he loved me so much and I loved him so much that the curse, my voice couldn't hurt him. And I didn't speak for about 6 years.
Dr. Angelo, I wish we had more time to talk about your island roots and all the wonderful things that you have done. Thank you so much for another wonderful book, for being so gracious. I wish you well and good health.
Thank you, Gloria. God bless your heart.
You take care now. All the best.